Brothers and sisters, our readings today, especially the parable in the gospel, remind us again that immediately after death, we will be judged by God for all our actions, the particular judgment, no? And we will be rewarded or punished accordingly. To help us reflect on securing a place in heaven, I think we can consider how we typically secure access to our social accounts using two-factor authentication, fingerprint or face ID, and constantly updating our password. You know, in the first reading, the prophet Amos warns the wealthy people of Zion and Samaria that their luxurious lifestyles will not protect them. Those who enjoy lavish comforts like sleeping on ivory beds, feasting on lambs, drinking wine from large cups, and using the finest oils will remain indifferent to the struggles of those around them. Their complacent, luxurious lifestyle closes their eyes to the impending destruction of Israel. And as a consequence, they will be the first to be exiled. In short, their carefree attitude led to them being careless. Now, from this story, we are actually told that salvation, in modern language, requires two-factor authentication. Not only in words, that we trust and have faith in God, but also in deeds, that we go out of our comfort zones and compete well for our faith. You know, a friend of mine was involved in a campus ministry during his time as a seminarian. And for the upcoming Christmas break, instead of organizing just a feeding program for the university staff, he proposed a community immersion experience in a fishing town in Mindanao in the Philippines. This town is located just about an hour's drive from the campus. You know, at first, he encountered resistance from the school administration who were concerned about the safety of the staff and other possible risks. Some teachers even were also hesitant due to fears of unsanitary conditions and the unfamiliar environment. Additionally, they were also accustomed to simply providing grocery bags to those in need, as it was most convenient for them. But despite the resistance, my friend insisted and assured that his team had already taken care of all logistics, including coordinating with local leaders. And during the community immersion program, each staff member was assigned to spend the entire day with a specific family. It's like watching on YouTube, no, a day in a life. But the end of the program, the administration observed the positive changes among the staff. The teachers were surprised by the warm welcome they received from the community, and they learned about the difficulties faced by the residents who remained hopeful, holding onto their faith. And they also discovered that some of their students came from that very community. Some teachers were moved to tears and pledged to support the local market more to help the community. And to this day, several teachers still maintain contact with the families they met. My dear friends, the depth of our faith is shown not only in words, but also in the willingness to step out of our comfort zones to help those in need, no matter how small the actions may be. In the Catholic tradition, when evaluating our faith, when we ask ourselves, how are we as a Christian? The basic moral test is often related to the condition of those around us. How are the most vulnerable members of our society doing? In fact, Pope Francis, during the first World Day of the Poor, even said that the poor are our passport to paradise, and that we should love not only in words, but also in deed. Now, in contemporary terms, the people we have helped, particularly those who are poor and in need, they serve as our face IDs in heaven. They are our fingerprints that grant us access to salvation. This is illustrated in our
gospel today, in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. In the gospel, the poor man's name is Lazarus, while the man's name, the rich man's name, remains the rich man remains unnamed. This distinction highlights the critical role that the poor play in Jesus' teachings. It is not mentioned anywhere that the rich man was a steward who squandered his wealth, unlike the rich man in the previous, in the last Sunday's gospel. The issue is not about dishonest wealth, but rather insensitivity to the concrete reality of poverty. And what is more interesting in the gospel today is that Lazarus is not described as virtuous. So it is not the contrast, between the faithful poor and the oppressive rich. Yet God sides with Lazarus simply because he is poor, because the poor are our face ID. We cannot be neutral, my dear friends, therefore, in the face of poverty, injustice, and inequality, because doing so, that is not choosing sides when faced with oppression, we actually take the side of the oppressor. This is not only about the people in poverty, but also about those who need help, those at the door of our hearts waiting for our charitable response to their specific needs. Our response to those who are least among us is the basis on which we will be judged. They are our face IDs in heaven. You know, it can be as simple as checking in on our friends, especially during stressful times like the finals week. Imagine not his real name, Liam, sitting in the library, buried in essays with his earbuds in, and his friend, Jade, not her real name, who is struggling in school, approaches him and asks, "Hey, Liam, can I talk to you?" Without looking up, Liam replies, "Can it wait? I'm busy." Jade hesitates and responds, "Yeah, sure." The next day, Liam notices that Jade is missing. He learns that she has dropped out without saying goodbye. A week later, he finds himself alone at their usual cafe spot when the barista mentions, "She used to wait here for you every morning." And in that moment, Liam realizes, "I never really asked if she was okay." Today's readings remind us, my dear friends, of the two-factor authentication needed to secure our place in heaven, both through words and actions, by loving God and loving our neighbors. And those who are poor and in need of our care act as our face ID, our password to access the heavenly riches. Yet I know the struggles on earth continues while we are still alive. And this is why in the second reading, like Timothy, we are encouraged by Saint Paul to keep the commandment until appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means a lifelong commitment to living a holy life motivated by the expectation of Christ's second coming. Keeping commandments is like keeping our passwords up to date. If we do not update our account's security measures, we may forget our passwords over time, which increases the risk of unauthorized access to our accounts. And these hackers can be likened to temptations or the evil spirits that lead us away from what is essential. They often whisper in discouraging thoughts to us, such as, "You don't have enough time to pray. You need to study, enjoy time with your friends, or have fun on the weekend. You are not good enough, so don't push yourself too hard. You're still young. You have all the time in the world to change for the better." Those are the whispers of the hackers of our faith. So St. Paul advised Timothy to pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Possible outcomes of neglecting this duty include failing in one's ministry, misguiding others, suffering from spiritual decline, and being held accountable for the disobedience by Christ at his second coming. My dear friends, as we end our reflection, have you ever helped someone in your life? If someone asks you to share their story, could you do it? Or at least, do you remember the names of those you have helped? As we continue our celebration, let us be reminded that our duty to help those in need emphasizes that genuine faith must be demonstrated through concrete actions, a two-factor authentication. Recognizing the struggles of the vulnerable is essential in our faith because they not only enrich our lives, but they also serve as our face ID in heaven. And ultimately, let us not become complacent, but strive to update our services to be up to date, always being sensitive to those in need, just as we keep the commandments at all times, so that when time comes for us to be judged, we will be rewarded accordingly. Amen.